Visit theucitheater.org for more information. See you there.
And you are listening to 94.1 KPFA and 89.3 KPFB in Berkeley, 88.1 KFCF in Fresno, 97.5 K248BR in Santa Cruz, and online at kpfa.org. The time is 2 p.m. Stay tuned next for the Visionary Activist Show.
Welcome, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. So we gather yet again at the dark of the moon, traditionally when people would gather to determine the course of culture. We take a deep breath, that we may be agents of cool response in a hot, reactive world. We put certain guidelines on our work altar. Whatever we do, we get more of that. More guns, more peace, more ingenuity, more peace, more ingenuity. So the dark of the moon before the new moon, which will be Sunday at 6:57 p.m. PDT, and its image is through imagination, lost opportunities are regained. And we go, that's also the day on Sunday when Mercury stations to go direct. So whatever we want to rewrite or redo right now, this is a great deep time to concentrate it. And then the following week, of course, is Earth Day, when Pluto, death and rebirth stations. And then the following week is the Buddha's full moon. It's the day when the Buddha was born and when he attained enlightenment with his back pressed against the Bodhi tree. Nobody gets enlightened without trees. There we go. So I turn to a great ally, Ron Kauk, as our great guide and mentor. But before I bring him on, just a smidge of his chart, which is resonant with all of ours. It is the dark of the moon now. Ron was born at the dark of the moon. I'm born at the dark of the moon. And a wonderful colleague, Martin Goldsmith, has rewritten some of Yeats's A Vision for this phase of the moon, which is pretty good for all of us. It says, we are witness to an old order dying and a new order being born. These changes will affect everyone equally. Personal goals are being eclipsed by the needs of the situation. Life is a single organism, an intricate web of karmic connections that is constantly evolving towards greater consciousness and greater freedom. Yes, we want to align with that. And then what it says is, we study cycles of history, economics, astrology, evolution in order to determine when and how to act. It is our capacity to predict where major lines of force are going to cross and to emerge to meet crisis. Now, it is this clarity of vision, this ability to sum up situations in unforgettable imagery that makes this phase of the moon such a seminal force in the activation of new social and cultural impulses. So, yes, at this dark of the moon, we welcome back denizen of Yosemite, master rock climber and nature mentor, Ron Kauk, that through imagination, lots of opportunities may be regained. Ron is the author of Spirit of the Rock, Letters from Sacred Rock, and Voices from the Inside Out about his work with bringing incarcerated youth to Yosemite. We're all invited to put big dreams on our community radio altar of desirable mystery, and the dream that we'll be animating of connecting the Parkland youth and all youth suffering from the cruel insanity of the modern world to Ron and what he symbolizes as well, that he may guide them to what we all need to re-envision education based on nature's laws, cosmic law and order, that we all recover our native DNA lineage to humbly cooperate with nature's guiding genius. His website is Sacred Rock. That's sacredrok.org. Welcome, Ron.
Thank you, Caroline. As always, it's a big honor to start this council today, as you just described the time we're in with the moon and the ancient reality of our ancestors gathering in a circle to determine the future, and we're sitting in that position apparently. So again, it's a great honor and a pleasure to be here with you today, and also with KPFA and their commitment to letting the airways flow with the sacred word of I don't know what you would say, healing, you know, awareness, union, all the things that bring us together as people.
I love that. And then just to we're all in this dream together. And so I do love that when you were born, your midheaven is 28 Aries, the point overhead when you were born, which represents, you know, your antenna into the collective, what you're calibrated to send and receive, and its images, you know, the cosmic choir. And we go, that's great. And for the first time in 84 years, Uranus, nature's trickster ingenuity, is also right there at 28 Aries. So we are here also as a blessing to you. Reciprocal blessings abound, that because you are telepathically irresistible. There we go. So whatever wants to happen, whatever we put on our altar of desirable mystery, undoubtedly, against all odds, is very likely now. So, yeah, we are convening the Renaissance Council. That's also strong in your chart. And that is a feeling. When we were speaking backstage, you know, you were bringing up Arvo Looking Horse and many people, again, about recovering, feeling our DNA lineage of belonging, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that spiritual union. And for just a second, I'd like to, you know, humble myself to the best of my ability, because, you know, I'm a human being. And I've spent my life trying to understand more and more about that, being in relationship to a beautiful place where I live, from climbing rocks and you know, being on the face of a 3,000-foot rock wall with just taking everything you need and a little bag, your food, your water, your shelter, and looking at the stars, and then getting through these different stages to imagine now what can the future be for our youth. You know, so it's very humbling, but I'm in a way, I feel like we're creating a ceremony here, and all the viewers, listeners and ourselves, maybe consider that we're in a circle right now, you know. Maybe there's a fire in the middle of that circle, and we're all around it, and we're coming together for the greater good of this world, you know, and that's within the power, not only of our imagination, but our action. So I feel like it's incredibly powerful time, and I'm glad that you called me yesterday when I just happened to be wandering around up here in by the river and looking up at the cliffs, and the clouds were swirling by, the wind was blowing through the trees, and it felt like it was really saying something loud and clear, you know, where that power comes from. But that's the power we're connected to, just as our bodies have been designed. And I visited a school not long ago, and when I greeted the kids, I said, it's nice to see you and acknowledge the intelligence in you. But they looked at me kind of funny, like, what did that mean? And I said, well, if you think about your body, think about that immune system that's traveling in you. How does that immune system know how to do that? How does the world know how to turn? Maybe it's the same connection that can turn the world that makes our immune system travel in our body. So trying to paint this beautiful picture that we are as human beings is where I think the future of education will go, back to evoking the memory of ourselves, as we were saying earlier, in the DNA lineage, back to our ancestors, in that profound connection that we honored and respected through ceremonies in our relationship to nature.
And just as a mythic sidebar, you know, where I am just outside Washington, D.C., 22 plus Virgo is rising in the sky, and that's where Neptune was when this country was founded, the vision, the soul of this country. We go, all right, so just radio really is magic. You know, here we are, as you say, we're around our fire circle, and as Terry Pratchett says, you know, here we are in this little circle of firelight we call the physical world, surrounded by vast, pulsing mystery. But we can animate, you know, the desirable soul of this country, and that's also the full moon on the 29th is at 9 plus Scorpio, which is, if we look at the back of a $100 bill, there's a clock tower there with a precise time on it, and if we do a chart for America, it gives 9 Scorpio rising, which is whose image is fellowship supper reunites old comrades. And we go, that's what this country's supposed to be. So I like us, you know, here, you know, and guided by yourself as well, and all of our good-hearted, dedicated listeners, you know, that we are animating the desirable. What we want to be aroused, and it's understandable to be outraged at what's happening to so much of the earth and to Bayer's ears and, you know, Escalante. I mean, everything is like, whoa. So, but anger is really the first part. Well, you know this from working with incarcerated youth. We'll spiral around to that too. And then it's like, no, don't start there. That's just the spark. There we go. Turn anger into desire. You know, what is it we want? So,
right.
And you're so good at that.
In relationships, you know, sometimes I just ponder a lot of things, and I was thinking about, you know, when we're born, first born, and hopefully they hand you to your mother or hand you to someone that will hold you and feel that nurturing, feel that connection right then and there. They've said that without that, my baby would just die with no feeling of connection. So I've been considering that as a source of where some of our suffering comes when we lose this sense of nurturing or being nurtured and connected and loved. And then throughout our life, maybe that's what we're acting out all the time because we don't have this nurturing and this love. So we act out in every way, shape, and form. You know, and I have to think about that with our young kids that are incarcerated. Like, what is their situation? You know, why do they do all these curious things, you know, without judgment, just observation? And you'd have to, because when we come up here, we're all good. Everybody's okay because the nature is talking to us in a way that calms us down and we don't feel, well, I think we feel a sense of nurturing. So there's some clues in all this to get back to the commitment that we adults need to make for our youth to have a foundation with life and nature. And I've been thinking about, I have my three C's now. It's to commune, communicate, and create community. Because I feel that we always had to follow the ways of nature. That's how we survived from way back. So if we commune with the nature, the earth, the trees, the rocks, rivers, we have an understanding of how to communicate. And that would lead us to those natural laws and this human, the humanness in that for us to behave and take responsibility, you know? So it's kind of like slowing so far down, kind of like what your analogy was when the farmers water their orchards, they'd water it slow so it would soak in. So I think now if we can slow so far down that we recognize that breath, you know, take that. When sometimes people say, slow down, take a deep breath. So if we're slowing down at this point in this council, this new moon, dark of the moon, if we all were to take a collective deep breath and start to say, how would we like to reimagine not only ourselves but our community in our world. And you were saying, we kind of brought up the Florida school kids as some of our interest in that spark of imagination and power and possibility. I didn't know if you had something you wanted to share about that.
Well, yeah. No, I love them, and I love them as natural allies to you and to us and to the earth. So being astro-mytho-detective, going, all right, a lot of these remarkable, authentic, outspoken exemplars of leadership, you know, assuming cultural narrative lead in such a great way, you know, so many of them are turning 18, so I go, okay, so many of them, the seniors in high school, were born in 2000, and then going, ooh, 2000, dragon year, and five planets in Taurus in May, but throughout the whole year, the Saturn-Jupiter conjunction in Taurus, and we go, well, for everything toxic, there's a tonic, there's positive sleeper cells. The positive sleeper cell of those born in the 60s, of those who lived through the 60s, the positive sleeper cell of those born in the year 2000, you know, it's like quickening. We need everybody. We need everybody. And I as sane stewards and, you know, reverent co-cahooters, you know, for redesigning everything from insanity back into accord. And the other reason I'm so glad to cahoot with you again, Ron Kalk, is that, you know, Uranus will enter Taurus on May 15th, which is a new moon in Taurus. And the last time, you know, it was the early 1940s, and we got, you know, fascism and the New Deal. And we go, no, okay, right, take your pick, and New Deal in jeopardy. But on the deeper level that we all get to animate, Taurus is the realm of living animism that you so wonderfully embody, Ron Kalk. Everything's alive. The plants, the animals, the rock, the car keys, the everything. And I love the Thai saying that says, because we were never colonized, we never lost our animism. And so to our progressive team, we go, right, you know, it is a sneaky part of the colonial virus to separate people from the collaborate with nature magic that would make all of our actions effective, you know, and we go, no, until now, you know, to experiment. And my sense that I was running by you again backstage is Uranus and Taurus says, well, Taurus is the living earth, really. And it's like, you know, Gaia's not waiting for humans. So that there's a waking up and an extending of an invitation to us, you know, what humans would like to humbly cooperate with nature's guiding genius you know, whereby we plan our buildings and our schools and our things and our farming and our, I mean, everything, you know, and when I said that to you, I said, does that resonate with yourself that it's stirring? And does that resonate with yourself that it, that Earth herself is coming alive even more?
Yes, absolutely. You know, that's well put, because you can feel it inside yourself to respond or take responsibility and use your creative imagination to look for the solutions, you know, the healing. And I brought up the school shooting in Florida, as there's been many, but it sparked such a movement. And I thought to myself, look at the power in those young people. And like we all know, they are our future. And since I've been involved in youth for about 10 years now, I've kept wondering about the educational system. You know, is it really building a good human being? Or are we being desensitized? You know, and I have no disrespect for the situation that we're in. It's just I'm not like necessarily for or against things, but I'm trying to understand how to make something better. So just to put that out there. But as those kids had it within them to organize and walk out for 17 minutes to honor their classmates, that was a big move. And in my imagination as a rock climber, always wondering how I can get up a rock that doesn't look possible, I see this possibility of a rewrite for the educational system to get back to what it could look like in the next 100 years if we're still going to be around, to be the helper, healer, mentors that we were put here to be, the caretakers that's in our DNA, back to our indigenous reality of having an intimate relationship with nature and natural laws. So I got really intrigued by some of the support that kids were getting from some celebrities like George Clooney or maybe Oprah. I don't know a lot about what happened there, but I felt like there was an awareness that the kids brought out in their response to take responsibility. And how far could that go? Because we don't necessarily, we can't live in trends too much anymore. Like, it has to be a commitment to the way of life. So the way that Earth is calling us is to get back to a way of life that's connected to the reality, which is the natural laws. They're the ones that govern everything. And if we don't pay attention to that, like you see in some ways we haven't with the fracking and the things that pollute our water, we won't have anything left. That's a known scientific fact, if we need to put science on the table, which we should. But we ignore that all the time. So what I'm getting at is, if the kids are going to get a real education, maybe we need a council, and that's what this time is about, to rewrite that educational system that would have to do with the reality of becoming a human being again. You know, and not just an employee.
And it is, you know, the Renaissance Council, not by snooty elite privilege, but by dedicated talent and affinity. And we embrace everybody. And I also love, you know, ancient, long ago friend of show, Michael Schneider, whom I call a mathematician. And when I hosted him a long time ago, he said one of the greatest losses of intimacy, which is a lot of what you're talking about, in the modern world, was when the teaching of math was divorced from the teaching of nature. And he has a great book, which we would like to put in the hands of everybody, called A Beginner's Guide to Constructing the Universe, and in which every chapter is a number and how you can see it and become intimate with it in nature. It would be good for your library. But yes, exactly that, you know, and again, you know, designing in accord. And I think it is also, you know, many of us kind of emerging, you know, from ancient world, looking around going, oh, what a mess. We remember in our DNA, you know, when humans lived in harmonious accord, you know, where human dwellings were beautiful and humbly collaborating with the landscape. And so, yeah, the return of that. And that's why, you know, this new moon on this Sunday, you know, through imagination, lost opportunities are regained, you know, is going right to see these things, you know, and because there are so many ingenious people, you know, the likes of yourself and whom you're assembling too, you know, we have ingenious and beautiful solutions that mend our sense of aesthetics and beauty, going, oh, yes, that. So,
that's right. And through education is one way. We call it education, form or whatever. But this thing about getting to know ourselves again, I think, is really interesting. Because we've asked the kids, you know, do you feel yourself as a natural being? And they might say, yeah, and talk about it a little bit. But in general, to get to know ourselves again is a pretty profound opportunity to get our senses back and not just be intellectual. Because I think intellectually it's not that easy to, I think people get overwhelmed real quick if we thought about how are you going to change all the school systems, really, you're going to do that? But I'm not trying to think about it intellectually. I'm coming from my heart and in the response of the earth, like you're saying, and the need for the human being to rise to the occasion to match that sacred trust that's been put in us, in our DNA, that we carry this knowledge and intelligence. That's what's so interesting about to get to know ourselves again. There's an incredible amount of intelligence that's in us to be evoked out. And a lot of that can come through just being in nature. When you're by the trees and the rocks, there's an inspiration there that you feel intuitively. But this is getting the trust back in ourselves to, and to be able to talk about how we feel. That's why I felt that in this talk on, together, that we would be in a circle and keeping an equality with us and referencing the sacredness of a fire that would help us kind of connect to that past, that ancient story that we're in, and then evoke our thought about the sun, you know, putting light on the planet, and be able to talk about this in the complete common sense that it is. It's just a fact. I'm sitting here right now. There's a fire going in my stove. There's the sun outside lighting the day up, and I just think that's so amazing. But, you know, for a long time, you think, man, am I just the crazy guy running around? I think that's so amazing. But the fact that we don't think that's amazing, then we take it for granted. So the thing, if we're taking these things for granted, that means we don't really have an appreciation for them. But when you're educated like math to add it up, like the sun and the moon and the air and the water and you know, all these things are gifts. They're life givers for us, you know. And it's like, I like math as a way to think about, can we put something in order that is like math, and you can add up 2 + 2 and get yourself in the equation, you know. The air and the water is you. The DNA that you carry is like the tree. We're made up of the earth. I mean, how beautiful of a story is that to be a part of, so that you don't have to feel lost or alone? And that I feel, is the richness that we've been given. So the confusion that happened, that now we got 2,000 some odd billionaires. I love listening to Richard Wolff on Economic Update, and he tunes me into some of these fun facts that are pretty outrageous to listen to. But there's people like him that are looking for the solutions and equality with new businesses starting up, things like that. So there's a lot of wisdom that wants to come up now. But I guess as people, we have to get behind that with our thoughts and believe it is possible. Because why would you need that much money? That's not in the natural way, you know?
Yes,
so this is what I'm trying to imagine. Educational. If kids go to school from kindergarten to 12th, what are they learning now? That movement in Florida really is something else. It's huge, and it has such potential, and I'm hoping that the ears are perking up out there, the people that supported this, to get a council together. Zuckerberg's got millions and billions of dollars, and these people want to help the society. Maybe they can start thinking about that.
Yes, he could use some good press now. That would be a very good... Well, we're wafting this out. We're wafting this out,
yeah.
You know. And I think it's also part of, you know, all of our team and the progressive team really expanding our tolerance, going, mm-hmm. Yes, Comey's sketchy, but he's doing a good role. Yes, Mueller's done, you know, was, you know, on the 9/11 council. Whatever we speak to is the part of the person we're inviting to dance. And so our own broad tolerance to... collaborate with everything and everyone. We're all befoibled, some more than others, but I do want to honor also, you know, more of what you said about the Parkland youth, because I did watch riveted the gathering of 800,000 people in Washington D.C. that those young people catalyzed, largest gathering ever in D.C., larger than the anti-war marches of the 60s and 70s, you know, which I remember vividly, larger than even Obama's inauguration, which was pretty huge. You know, and exactly as you said, there was Emma Gonzalez on stage holding silence for 17 minutes, and she didn't say what she was doing, right? And people were like, whoa. And then everyone settled in to have that kind of composure. To hold silence on stage for 17 minutes was very powerful.
That's so powerful. Maybe that's teasing out what power we have to clear our thoughts up, like you're presenting with the other people. If I throw names around, I mean it respectfully. When we all give a helping hand, it goes a long ways. When we can work together, that's what we're put here to do. That's why I'm trying to understand the nurturing thing. When a human being feels nurtured and good and loves himself, they don't usually act out. I mean, I don't know how to get too into that, but... it doesn't seem like you will act out so much against another if you're feeling okay about yourself. So it's time to really start feeling okay about yourself. You know, find that love for yourself. Find that connection for yourself. You know, try to get at, not overthink things and get back to the feeling. That's why we have our talking circles all the time down at the hall. And we respect each other enough that everyone shares what they wrote about being in Yosemite. And there's a feeling in it, you know. And so in that feeling, we generate a little closer, you know, little respect and nurturing. You know, so these are the things that you observe in nature, the nurturing that it gives us, you know. And it, what a system we're in to truly learn about it. And it, maybe you would call it in a spiritual sense. You know, how it was put, that ozone is just right. You know, it's meant to protect us. But I was outside a little while ago and the sun's hot. But I still feel it's within our power to heal all these things, starting with ourselves. And that, maybe that's one of the lessons that, you know.
Yeah, no. The inward and the outward, as you're saying, and again, so much of the Parkland youth, and again, not just the Parkland youth, to their aspiration to ever greater authenticity. You know, extended, you know, a hand to those in inner cities, those black communities that experience the horror of gunfire every day, and so and also paying attention and saying, you know, in many of our Black classmates are not getting as much media attention as we are. We want to address all of these things, and we go, yeah, we're all in this thing together.
Something else, what you're saying. So, back to ceremonies, which in my opinion is one of the most important things that we've always had, and we need to continue to have. You mentioned 800,000 people being in Washington. So in our imaginations, how about we keep that moving, and we break these barriers with colors? I mean, sometimes you think yourself, how did this... I mean, we know how it happened and all the atrocities, but as we stand here today and look forward, will we come together and see ourselves as human beings, to really truly look at another person as a human being and understand they're breathing the air like you, they got two arms like you, they got two eyes like you. We're all so much more alike than we are different. That would be a ceremony to have across somewhere else too, bring all the people, all the nations together. You know, that's why I keep picturing this circle. There's something about this circling of people at this time to break the spell, you know, because this whole illusion and delusion about fake news and trip you out and confuse you, you know, after a while you can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time, you know. And so if we start with ourselves and really commit to understanding that we're human beings, every day wake up and whatever you got to say, whatever you got to do to put that in motion, that's an exciting news channel to be on, and it's the real news. That would be the real news, because that's reality. And reality is coming, and that's back to the timing of the Earth's changes, right? I mean, we can't stay in denial forever. That's why maybe what you pointed out is our ability to respond now is very important, very precious, every breath, every day we have.
Right. No, late great ally Bob Goff used to close all of his emails by saying climate change is inevitable. Adaptation is optional. So we want to be responsive. And you know, several times ago when I hosted you on the radio, we had you on with Deborah Felmuth, and it was right before, you know, Obama was considering a strike on Syria, and there were huge fires in Yosemite, and we were linking everything. You know, the world is on fire. And how do we be agents of calm, cool, you know? And we sort of did what we could, and with many sane people, you know, and going, no, Obama, no, don't bomb, no, and we're here again. But just, you know, without hubris or presumption, you know, how can we influence the collective mind, you know? And already Trump is like, I'm going to send smart muscles and watch out, and he's like, or maybe not. Or maybe soon, or maybe later, and we go, all right, later. Let's just imagine calming down his amygdala and guiding him backstage and back to the infancy where his mother never picked him up. Or, you know, there you go, lad. Oh, they're over there. Meanwhile, the grown-ups, like the Parkland youth, will cool things out. And, you know, the Venusian foreign policy of, you know, food and clean water and, you know, poetry and chocolate and help and compassion. Yeah. That one, not more weapons there.
That's right.
Yeah.
No, you're completely on it. I think that's exactly right, to see a person like that coming from a place as a youth in dysfunction and whatever happened to him. But we're in like it threatens to overwhelm us, because that's who we call our president. but we don't want to neglect the power we have as individuals with our thoughts and our ceremonies. But even if you're not in a circle of ceremony, you know, however in your neighborhood, we're still a ceremony ourselves. You know, we can walk in that ceremony. We can breathe that. So what I'm trying to say is we have power to affect everything, you know, just by being connected to the earth and being thankful for what you have. And, And I'm not even trying to get all spiritual religion. It just is what it is. That's the power we have. There's nothing wrong with spirituality and religion, but somehow we need a universal understanding now, not to get confused over everything, because it's not that confusing to breathe air. And I think there's a lot of power in our breath. And if we focus on that, we can feel that power come into us and go out. It keeps giving us life. So we have like, I think, to be a human being. That's what we were talking about with these guys up in Yosemite the other day. They were from Ohio touring around on an old school bus. It was very interesting. But we were striking up
this
conversation.
This is an important, great story. Hold it for a moment, because we're going to take just our very short mid-show break with our wonderful ally, Taj Mahal. Our guest is Ron Kalk today. Everybody, let's all take a big breath together, like, whoa, that we can be agents of cool response in a hot, reactive world. And we'll be right back after this very short break.
She shook the constellations and dazzled them across his eyes. She shook the constellations and dazzled them across his eyes. She showered his head with quasars and made his tortoise cry.
Oh, get down.
Chanty, 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 come blow my chanty home. Ooh, chanty, 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 come blow my chanty home. Grab my indigo sky ship, make its voyage long.
Now get down.
Welcome back, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show. I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey, and our guide, nature mentor, rock climber, denizen of Yosemite, Ron Kalk, is our guest. And you were just about to guide us into a story about how really... You know, for all of us, you know, the inner community of each one of us that is just separated by a thin membrane from the whole large, pulsing, largest community, you know, if we have a willingness to engage now, you know, we can find a common story with people, well, everybody, really. So, yeah, so the you were going to go into that story.
Back to being in this beauty of nature and how it attracts us as people to communicate, because the communing that's taking place. So one of our board members, Steve Shackleton, is the former chief ranger of Yosemite National Park. He works for the University of Merced, or California in Merced, and he'll bring up people every once in a while to take a walk up here in Yosemite, and he'll call me. And so yesterday he called, and there was a guy that was, he wants to promote a day of beauty. And he's been involved in a lot of different things over the past, but I never met him. And like I said, I can't even remember his name, which embarrassed me a little bit. But we met, and we were walking around with this concept about him wanting to create a day of beauty. And so we were walking along, and then there's these three guys coming down from looking at one of the cliffs. And we started talking, and my friend Steve and the other guy took off. And as I was engaged with these guys talking, I said, oh, did you guys walk up to the base and put your hands on that 3,000-foot cliff? And they go, yeah. I go, it doesn't look like it's that far up there, does it? Because when you get to the base, it's very foreshortened. So it's hard to get the scale. But where we were standing back from it a little bit, we were looking up. And he goes, yeah, we were looking for some climbers, and we haven't seen any, and it's hard to tell. And then we got to talking some more, and they go, well, have you climbed that? And I go, yeah, I have. So we were all intrigued about sharing the lessons learned that, as a youth going up on El Capitan, like I say, and bringing what you need. And then... the conversation just kept going on about the beauty of nature. And I said, that guy's trying to make a day for beauty. So it's interesting that here we are in this beauty, acknowledging it, and it's bringing us together as human beings. And we got to say, you know, would we be having this conversation if we were on an elevator? And probably not. But because we were in that setting, it was evoking our ability to just share how we were feeling. And then we were talking about the beauty of being human is that we're conscious. But he says, do you think we're that significant when you compare us to the size of this mountain and the world? And then we all had to think, well, we are very significant. And then I related a story going down to juvenile hall once with the kids where the teacher was saying something about nature, but even the profound thought about how big is the universe? Is there a wall out there and just there's nothing on their side of it, just to play with their mind? But on the way back from the juvenile hall, I was thinking about that idea of the universe, and then I thought about my mind, too. How big is my mind? Is my mind as expansive as the universe, as a fun thought? And I'd think, why not? So as we were standing there, we recognized ourselves as very significant as human beings. So that brings it back around to what we were just talking about. is our power within our mind and imagination to affect things. And then, like, so you got a lot of science and quantum physics, a lot of things talk about this study, but that makes me think about that all our technology that we're so impressed with came from inside us. So we have all these abilities to use thoughts and send thoughts and affect things through energy, you know. So it's such a beautiful spot, Yosemite, and it's recognized as a World Heritage site. And I almost don't want to say the word, but to the listeners out there, if you're coming to Yosemite, it is a great place to make the connection. But we're hoping you just slow down a little bit on the roads because a lot of our bears have been run down. And, you know, so we're, and also my friend Steve, speaking of, he being the former chief ranger, he's still active in a lot of the national park things. His vision is for parks to become centers for peace. So that's something with Sacred Rock and our nonprofit that we would like to continue to work on, the influence and interpretation of these places as sacred sites, but something that brings us back to the memory of being human and being inspired to be caretakers.
Right, stewards.
The world outside, you know, because they were protected for a reason, but because of our challenge with, you know, it's a corporate-run place and it's a government-run place and it has every special interest group under the sun, you know, to where they want to build a new bathroom by one of the waterfalls that will run a sewer pipe over the top of our, under the road that where our springs are. When you first come into Yosemite, there's some springs, and they want to put a sewer pipe over the top of it. So we're thinking, is that the right direction? No.
Right, no, and that's why we want to, yes, invite in trickster in nature, the coyotes come and disassemble it or whatever, you know, but yes, and what you're saying, you know, I had an intake of breath when you talked about the bears being run over by people speeding, rushing to slow down, going, no,
right.
Manners, drive slowly to Yosemite, drive slowly everywhere, surround your car with the blessing before you set forth, neither hit nor be hit by anything, you know, the squirrels, the everybody. But what you were saying, you know, some things, you know, keep surfacing, or, you know, old things from our compost pile. And so there's a, you know, an interesting book from way back called A General Theory of Love by three neuroscientists, and they describe how the neurological pathways get laid down in our brain from when we're babies and when we cry out. And they say everything depends on what the response, the environmental response is to that. For a young mammal to cry out, it's a bold thing because either help will come or you could get eaten. And they say, they delineate how the neurological pathways can get set down there, and then they say, but we can heal, and they say therapy is of some value, but insight changes nothing. The value is to sit with somebody with a more stable kind of neurological pathway, and then ours come into accord with that. And then to you, right, and what you have earned and know and embody, you know, it's not even just sit with a therapist, it's sit with nature and then our neurological, and with a kinship rather than a lonely fear, and then our neurological pathways actually align into a calm and healthy and intimate connected way, right? So,
exactly.
So, and that's, yeah?
But that's what you're, okay, what we're doing right now is we're working on that so-called curriculum for our young people to have their minds develop in a healthy way, to build that self-confidence in that identity, that authentic identity, and then to bring out the gifts that they all have to contribute to this world. That's why, again, back to the school, the possibility of the shift of approaching how to be educated is, I think, a profound possibility right now because of what those kids were willing to do, and the fact that one woman, young girl, was about the 17 minutes.
Right, holding.
She showed that kind of patience and that kind of composure, that kind of depth. And that's exactly, maybe back to what you're saying, we're at a moment of possibility to calm way down and start to use our intelligence.
Yeah. Right. Well, I love your website. Let me, again, make it known to our listeners. It's sacredrock.org, rock spelled R-O-K, so that's sacredrock.org. Yeah, and just is beautiful, and we did a whole show on your work with incarcerated youth, but, you know, right on the homepage of your site, you know, transforming lives one person at a time,
mm-hmm.
And Sacred Rock has led trips to Yosemite for more than 400 young people, incarcerated, foster kids, low-income, to experience the healing ceremony of nature, and Sacred Rock transforms the lives of young people who feel that society is closing in on them. The goal of Sacred Rock is to help youth, including incarcerated youth, to heal by learning to respect nature, and through that to respect themselves. And then you say, you know, it's also about helping them become part of a caring and nurturing community that loves and trusts them. You know, building a community and breaking the cycle of violence and trauma takes time and commitment. Yeah, like rocks, right? It's really good. This trust cannot be built overnight or during a single day trip, you know, to Yosemite. We want to build long-term relationships with the youth and with mentors acting as facilitators of the ceremony of nature. Beautiful, beautiful. That's on Ron's homepage, sacredrock.org, with many great films and all kinds of, you know, Sacred Rock's influence on incarcerated youth. I like replacing the word impact almost everywhere I see it with influence.
I agree, or as
David Grimes chimed in, going, if you put a hyphen there, it's more fun. Imp act. It's like, all right, I'm happy to have an imp act, but yeah, but so there's Sacred Rock's imp act on incarcerated youth, and many great things, inviting people to go there and be inspired. So yeah,
right.
So
thank you.
Let's see, where shall we go? Where would you like us to go right now?
I'd like us to keep going into ourselves and recognize this thing we have of being helper, healer, mentors, starting with sincerity. You know, sincerity is such a big deal to me, and when we're sincere with each other, it's showing a high level of respect and appreciation, and I think in that sincerity, it's a nurturing. Because I find the nature to be very sincere. You know, the trees to me are very sincere. The breeze blowing through the trees, the way the leaves, you know, move, the bear walking. You know, there's a lot of sincerity, and so our conduct. You've said it before that we could maybe help our behave a little bit better, and so I think that as we're talking in this circle, still, we recognize our ability to treat each other kindly, with respect, and this is a huge difference. And maybe we mentioned one of the last shows about Gandhi's point about becoming the change you'd like to see in the world, however it was said. This is a time that we really want to take these things seriously, maybe from your heart or your gut feeling, to recognize that, and you know, I kind of lost the story. I didn't do too good a job telling the story about the school bus, sorry about that. But those guys were traveling across country in this big school bus, which reminded me of the 60s, but we had such a great conversation because they've been on the road, you know, and thinking about the ability, I mean, what it means to be a human being and our consciousness, the significance, and how we treated each other. There was a great inspiration. So they're off traveling along, and they help me travel, and I help them travel. So this thing about making change is not just intellectually. It's from the energy that you carry as a human being sincerely to the water. And I know that I feel that that's one of our bigger powers that we're kind of missing because maybe it was never brought to our attention. Or we don't know how to think about or believe it, you know. But like, say, if you have a hard time and you can't figure stuff out, go sit up on a hill for a few days.
I loved what you said about sincerity and just looking it up on Etymology Online, because an invaluable resource, you know. It is great. It's an early 15th century word that means honesty, genuineness. From Latin sinceratum, purity, soundness, wholeness, whole, clean, uninjured, genuine, pure, true, candid, and truthful. Yes, sincere, which is a little bit different than earnest. I like to, you know, earnest can be a little bit impositional, like, I want you all to feel my pain. But sincere really is liberating. I find earnest a little sneaky and imprisoning. Sincerity, liberating. There we go. That's really great. Yeah, and in a way we do get that from the animals. It's a complex world out there, but right. I'd say most animals are guileless. And then I stopped myself for a moment thinking of, you know, animals that do have guile and playful trickery. But so there is that thing. But I love also once in Kruger Park, and our guide saying the giraffes are very confiding. Right, and they do. They're like, hello, and just, you know, and the hyenas too, and all the creatures that you live with, and that we all live with, you know, those gazes, like you're saying again, the small large story of, you know, you and the bird this morning hanging out companionably, right? The gaze going, hello, hello,
yeah,
back and forth. We are fed by that, yeah.
And you know, know, like they say, we do live in a mystery, a great mystery. So even when I'm trying to share this stuff, I know that there's a lot more to it. I'm just a human being trying to navigate my way and help myself to help others. So, like I say, but there's so much power and importance in our words. That's why languages have always been an important factor to our humanness. And that's why it's important that we pick up on our language now that we're all seem to be using English. So to put more, re-empower these words so we know what we're saying to each other is an important time, too. You know, because there was a lot of languages, even from where I'm living, that were thousands of years of cultivation to communicate what it meant to be here. But now we're having to kind of reconsider, you know, how to talk and communicate. So I find that interesting, too.
Well, you've used the word reconsider or consider, which is one of my favorite words because it means with the stars, consider the stars. So we avert disaster, which means against the stars, by gathering to consider. We go, and then from our spirit brother David Grimes, you know, he was, you know, with Chief Marie, one of the last Athabascan speakers in Alaska, who was dying, and everyone was so worried that the language would die, and he said that Chief Marie said the language comes from the land. If you maintain your kinship with the land, the language will bubble back up and go.
That's beautiful. That's right, and that's some of our jobs now. And I thank you for saying that, because in my own best of my ability, that's what I'm trying to do too, to use the language that comes from the land, commune and communicate to get the community back. But there's a great community we live in. Like I was telling you, I was out in my backyard. I like to stand barefoot and have my hands towards the sun for a little while, just for a good feeling, and commune in my own way. And that little blue jay was sitting on the limb right next to me. I just kind of moved my head slowly and looked at him, a really good-looking kind of younger bird. And I thought, well, you know, look at all these communities. We're living here with so many communities, little ants, you know. Maybe there's bobcats and raccoons and bears and eagles and all this ocean full of communities, more and more communities. And that's why when we say this idea of all my relations is such a profound understanding of our connection, you know. And we are in the dynamics of kind of an unknown world. We're just here to do the best we can and take care of ourselves, take care of others, feel nurturing and share nurturing. It doesn't have to be that complicated. That's why I think when we get over, the intellect can run us into a corner, you know. And it, like one of my buddies had said, it's the intellect that got us into all these problems now. Maybe it was one way of saying it.
Oh, I don't know. I'm going to speak up on behalf of intellect. I think, you know, these are all false estrangements brokered as a mean trick by the reality police, going, oh, the intellect is terrible, only the heart. And it's like, no, the heart and the intellect, they love each other. And remember, in so many, you know, indigenous realms, you know, and as Martine Prechtel says, you know, in all indigenous people, the cultivation of eloquence and intellect was considered a way of reverencing nature. So I want to include everything, you know, going, yes, science and myth, they love each other. Cultures embedded their science, you know, symbolically in myth. You know, they want to get back together. And, you know, activism and animism, they love each other. These are false, sneaky estrangements. And, you know, I'm just going to go and intellect and, you know, James Hillman, who was my first guest on this show and a buddy, a great late ancestor, you know, as a rascal, he'd say, everybody's trying to get in touch with their feeling. I'm trying to get in touch with my thinking. But, I mean, he was a feisty provocateur. But I go, thinking and feeling, all good. It's a democracy. It's a democracy.
Okay. There's
so
your classroom. You're working on the curriculum for our youth, and I couldn't agree with you more. But when we go to extremes, then we need to come back into the balance for the harmony of intellect. I'm always thinking. But if we only think, is that the intellect, the imagination too?
Well, you know, again, we have these words, right, that kind of compartmentalize the whole thing. But but we'd say, you know, if we go back, I mean, that's why I so love the astrological language that does not, it's a language. You don't have to believe in a language, you know. But Mercury, it's a language of our interior psyche and its connection to the whole large pulsing world. So Mercury is mind, voice, intellect, hands. It's Hermes. If we're tracking everything back to its liberating thing before it got colonized. So it was the understanding that words are magic. Intellect is an ally, a partner of magic. You know, the alphabets are alive. You know, all of those things, and we go, And again, there's the toxic mimic. I mean, We want everyone to have an intellect really which is, you know, curiosity and cultivation and
right.
You know, Sir British person Matthew Arnold said to be cultivated is to be acquainted with the highest possibilities of the human spirit throughout time. And I always like to say that's a good start, but I want to include wolves and, you know, and geese and the highest spirit of, you know, cultivation of wolves and geese and everybody too. I'm all in favor of just composting humanism. One other thing I want to pitch to you is, you know, there's a number of forks in the road in our human journey that I think want to be revisited. And one was when I had a guest on talking about the history of coyotes in America, but he said 4,000 years ago, the Greeks ditched all their animal deities and replaced them all with human deities. And I go, I think we might want to go back there and revisit that thing. And the other thing I want to toss to you is, yeah, and when were we snookered mythologically way, way back into thinking of the underworld as bad? Right? You know,
right.
Really, before Homer and everything, it's the earth, its roots, its soil. It's a place of replenishment. You know, and one of the early forms of Pluto and Persephone told by Plato that there's no rape, no kidnapping thing. The initiatory Pluto figure is called pharmacia. It's plants that take us to the initiatory world. And so I want to revisit that and liberate it, going, what about the underworld as a nurturing, you know, replenishing soil
Absolutely.
Place, right?
Yeah. And I love what you challenged me on the intellect, and as I was sitting there, I go, okay, I think that we need to intellectualize our feelings. So when we have feelings as human beings, we can use our intellect to kind of balance, perhaps. Because if we feel something about what they're doing in Syria, then how do we think about that? If we feel something about 17 kids getting shot, how do we think about that? You know, so our feelings don't lie. And then the intellect can maybe process that and then respond in a way that takes responsibility to heal the situation. So, but I just wanted to brush up on that because I'm not really trying to defend the whole intellect thing. But sometimes if we're not, yeah.
Well, you know, and then in tarot cards, you know, card key zero is the fool stepping off the cliff. You know, it's the Uranus, it's the part of all of us, and accompanied by a little white dog. And the traditional, it says the little white dog is our intellect. That's a wonderful companion, a terrible master, right? And then just something that's pertinent to, you know, to Pacifica and to everything. You know, Will and Ariel Durant, you know, their whole history of history, it's kind of, they don't say Saturn, Uranus, but they go structure, too much structure, Uranus, mm-hmm. wildness, too much wildness, not paying the bills, structure, oops, too much structure, you know, and of course what we want to do is get right, you know, disciplined wildness, like wolves, like nature. Nature knows about just the right amount of structure and improv.
That's right.
You know, and in your own chart, you do have Saturn trine Uranus, which is, you are a disciplined wild person. And what's going on right now for all of us is last year we had Saturn and Uranus trine in a fire sign, disciplined wildness in a creative way. This year, one of the many, you know, possibilities being generously proffered to us to animate is Saturn and Uranus will be trined in earth signs. You know, again, let's implement the structures derived from nature, you know, and ground them. But I think it's also, you know, these are what's called the two rulers of Aquarius, and the Aquarius part of all of us can often feel out of time, belonging to the present or the future, when we go, mm-hmm. no, until now, we're all
right.
at the right time right now, you know,
right.
where every part of everybody, their feeling, their intellect, their whatever, because the feeling is kinship, and then the intellect, you know, I don't even want to, you know, whatever the thing, but,
right.
but is the part of us that can figure out and solve something in accord with feeling. If we feel this way, then how shall we solve and, you know, anyway, yeah, so all of
yeah.
that. So
no, I'm running
yes,
with
yay.
You. And,
yay,
and to get back to this, to appreciating the beauty that we live in. And in fact, this guy was up here yesterday with this concept of having a day for beauty. But I'd like to just think we can see the beauty every day and see the beauty in ourselves. And what I feel that might do is evoke our spirit into being human so we don't have to run on fear and confusion. And maybe that's, without getting tricky in the words, it's to realize that we do have a harmonious story that's in us, and it's with our immune system, with our heartbeat, with our breath, with our ability to hear and see, and kind of re-inspire ourselves as beautiful, powerful, loving, nurturing beings that the Earth, our Mother Earth, is always doing for us, is loving, nurturing us with all this beauty. So if we can connect to that and stay grounded to that, I think we could think clearly and function more functionally with everything we do, and then we will have an effect on everything. You know, and this could be part of the great change that we're looking for, is to become conscious again of that beauty that we are. Because people come up to see these waterfalls, and I always like to say to them, if you can see the beauty in that, see the beauty in yourself, and don't go buy that bottled water.
Right. And see, I love in our long cahooting and your fabulous life as art, really, you know, that you have been a great rock climber and done amazing things and really helped to transform rock climbing from this competitive macho thing into intimacy. But you have the credibility for these incarcerated youth because you are strong enough to be gentle. And I think that's a great thing that you transmit to young men. Strong enough to be gentle, going, it's Ron Kauk, he's faced danger, he's done amazing things in a powerful, deep way. You know, so you have the credibility going, oh, I mean, you're a cool guy, right? So you have that credibility and go, right, you know, strong enough to be gentle. So we're in our last minute-ish kind of thing, but I want to toss it to you because you sent me the, you know, beautiful photos of where you live, and I go, well, you know, we're giving the place that you love and the places that we all love, and you know, the Gwich'in and Sarah James, you know, saying Shalak Nai, you know, which is all our relations, and all the people all over, and Terry Tempest Williams and Bear's Ears, and we're all connecting here. But if you want to any well wishing for our council at this powerful fulcrum time?
Yeah. Well, like I say, it's very humbling to be a human being and to feel this kind of love and nurturing from a place that's given you love and nurturing, and that's a sense of place. So I think the gift that is given to all of us humans is to have a sense of place. And the sense of place I feel here, I like to share with the whole world because of that beautiful energy that comes from the earth that brings life, you know, for all things in the water and all this incredible connection. And that truly it is that we are all one, you know, and the earth shows us these things. And these places of great beauty, well, everywhere is beautiful to me. But from this area that I'm talking from, you know, thundering waterfalls and beautiful animals and trees. And we want, as human beings, to give it the utmost respect on a daily basis so that that life will continue as well as ours for the future and all those kids out there in Florida and all our school kids throughout this country, that they will feel the power within themselves to take on the responsibility that they're going to have to take on for the future. And that might be by rewriting the educational system to get back to the reality of our responsibility to learn the natural laws.
Beautiful. Let's do that. Thanks. Always a delight to cahoot with you, Ron Kauk. Again, great website is sacredrockrok.org. Thanks so much. We will cahoot in perpetuity, and we are all carrying precious veiled burdens of what we love into a desirable future, protecting it all. Thanks always to Erica Bridgman, and I'm Caroline Casey. You can follow me on Patreon or coyotenetworknews.com, and we will reconvene next week. Thanks.
Truth, justice, and the American way. Apprentices, assemble.
In spite of the empire's wall building, dream dashing, and press punishment, the quest for fairness, equality, and freedom of speech continues with ample support from the First Voice apprenticeship program at KPFA Radio.
First Voice is an opportunity for collective discovery, enhanced vision, and expression of your unique self through radio. Your passion and perspective can help fortify and expand the quest.
Apply now and learn to produce radio while building community. To apply, visit kpfaapprentice.org or call 510-848-6767, extension 235. The application deadline has been extended.
The quest for truth continues.
KPFA turns 69 on April 15th. Every year, listeners ask us, what does KPFA want on its birthday? What we want is for you to become a KPFA ally. An ally is a sustaining member who donates monthly to our independent radio station that lifts the voices of the Bay and speaks truth to power. Why? Because if we can increase our ally membership, we can cut additional days from our fund drives and eventually eliminate one completely. Our birthday present can also be a present for you. Join our birthday membership celebration Friday, April 13th, and become an ally or a new member.